So in the previous class we did the syntax of the language A and A0, right? So now we get to the semantics. And again, what we're trying to do, bringing the whole picture, is we're trying to develop a systematic methodology for designing agents. Okay? That's kind of one of our goals. And a bigger picture is that I think this axons and how they impact the environment is a very important aspect that come into play in many different fields. Agents is just, autonomous agents is one of them, and that's the one we're going to focus on, but they play a role in many of them. Okay? And the first part of that is representing the effect of axons on the environment. Okay? So what we did was we discussed some examples and we came up with some simple syntax of a language where you can express axons and their effect. Very simple. And what those were was in A0 we had the syntax was A causes F if P1 to PN. Okay? An axon will cause something to be true if certain conditions are satisfied. And then a rule about what is executable. Executable A if certain conditions are satisfied, right? And then, so this is the description. Then the next step was, okay, what kind of questions we are going to ask, and the kind of questions we are going to. The next step was, what can we express about the initial state? So we had the syntax saying initially F or initially G or initially not F, some description of the initial state. And what kind of questions we are going to ask? The questions would be F, is F true after a sequence of actions. Okay? So those were the syntax. So now we get into saying, okay, how do we make the conclusion from given a domain description D, which consists of A causes F and executable, and some initial states O, information about the initial state O, what kind of conclusion can we make? And so we're going to discuss that aspect. First we're going to define, then we're going to discuss how hard it is to make those conclusions, and then we're going to develop some algorithm to do it. Okay. So now in the stage two is what is the semantics. And this one I made the slide to be interactive, so you can actually write in the class. Okay. So the first thing we want to do is define what is a state. Okay, I gave some of the hint in the last class, so this is, I left it blank, so you can write it. Actually, I should just go so that I can write it there itself. Yeah. So what is a state? What should I write? So state, we're talking about the state of the world, right? So state of the world, so the terms we have are so far, I talked about axons, fluent literal. So axons are, we're going to use kind of A1, A2 like that, fluent F, G, fluent literals, F, not F, so you can have F, not F, G, not G. And examples of axons are, say, pick up some block B1 or go from A to B. Example of fluents are, say, at A, it's a property. Fluents are basically properties, at A or at B. Here I can have at A, not at B, like that. So next we want to go from here to what is the notion of a state. Okay, we can make it simpler. A state is a set of fluents. No language. Okay? And we can give the meaning of it, what it means. So if F is in a state sigma, we say F is true in S. If F is not in a state, sigma, then you say F is false in sigma. For a fluent F, as I said, the definitions are very important. Coming up with the exact precise definitions are important. That's why I'm doing them slowly and leaving it blank so that we do it together. Okay, so state is the simplest one, so I'm going to write it down. So a state is a set of fluents in our language. For a fluent F, if F is in a state sigma, then we say F is true in S. If F is not in a state sigma, then we say F is false in S. Now if I want to say more, so we say F is true in sigma, and we can add not F is false in sigma. I want to go from okay. So you understand what is the state? When something is true in a state, when something is false in a state. Clear? Yes. It's the representation of state is closed world, so we don't want to put everything what is true false. We just want to say what is true there, and if something is not there, then it's false. It's a representation, and we make it simple representation. We'll have exactly what? We haven't gotten there yet, so we'll. It depends on what kind of information we have. Okay, so we'll go there one by one. So first is the state. So is this clear? Okay. So next, so we are getting almost there. So we are trying to characterize D and O. So let's try to see what kind of information does O have. Okay, D is of the form A causes F if P1 to PN, and executable A if P1 to Q1 to QM, and O is, at this point we are making simple ones, initially F or initially not F. Okay, so this is the kind of information that we have. So what kind of things we can get about from O, characterizing O when it consists of only information about the initial state. So from that, what we can get is the definition of when a state is an initial state, right? And that's what I left out the definition here, saying a set of fluents, say we can say sigma 0, at the end I will upload this. Is an initial state with respect to O if, so now you tell me the condition. I want you to write the precise definition. So write down in your page first, and then you tell me. It's simple, it's just that I want you to have the experience of writing definitions very precisely. It's not complicated or anything, it's the simplest definition. But you just have to have the experience of writing, taking your thoughts and putting them precisely in paper, which I find not many of you have an experience. Do you understand what I'm trying to ask you? let everyone. Did you finish? Okay, just give me a minute. Yeah, question is fine. Sigma 0 is a set of fluents, okay? So it's basically a state. Okay, any set of fluents is a state. Is an initial state with respect to the information that we have if what conditions are satisfied. Okay, O has this kind of thing. O has initially F and initially not G, this kind of thing. Okay? Okay, so you tell me. So he's saying if O is a subset equal to of sigma 0? Okay, so is this correct or not? See, O consists of this kind of thing. Initially F and initially not F. Okay, and sigma 0 consists of just F, G, this kind of thing. So you cannot have this as a subset, I mean they will not match. So be precise. So that's what I'm saying. So you cannot. So this is not precise enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
so write down.
Yeah.
So this is. Does everyone understand why this is not correct? Okay. Yes. Sigma zero. We don't have any time. So the sigma zero is our initial state, and O has the information about what is initially true. Okay, so we don't need anything else outside of that, any T0 or anything outside of that. It's not something complicated. He almost has it right. I just want you to have experience of writing it clearly, that's all. It's not something, O has the information of what is initially true, right? And so from that you have to construct a set, that's all. Okay, so let. Okay, so so this one is not correct. So let me write this down. For every f in sigma zero, right? And then initially f is in O. Is that? Initially F is in O, it's fine. This kind of thing can be in O, right? So is this correct? So you want to say for and for every and then initially is that what you want to say? Okay, is this correct? Say it again. Say it loud.
Sigma 0
is subset of O. No, no, we don't want to say they're subset. They are of different language, so they cannot be subset, right? Sigma 0 has initially F kind of things, and O has only F, G, this kind of thing, so they cannot be subset. Yeah, so is this correct or not? So can you explain what's not correct about it? Okay, so what he's saying is I mean, this would work if this O has complete information about everything, has whatever true, whatever false. But O can have partial information. I never said that O will have everything. So what we are looking for is actually we might have incomplete, say if we have F and G, and my O can just have initially F. So what that means is there are two initial states. One, if I just have information initially F, and I don't have anything about G, these are my two properties of the world, then there can be two initial states. F is true, G is true. F is true, G is false. Okay? So what you did, you can have to switch around. You can go from O. Here what you did is you went from X sigma 0 towards O. Rather, you have to go from O towards sigma 0. Because O can be incomplete. While sigma 0 is, whatever is true in sigma 0 is true, whatever is not true is false. O can have only partial information. And if it has partial information, then there can be multiple states, initial states. Okay? And in general, if you think of, like, we are observing, right? We don't observe everything. The state is the semantics, everything is there. But as far as our observations are concerned, I might not have seen something. So there is incomplete knowledge about it. Like last time I had the example where initially I know the turkey is alive, but I have no idea if the gun is loaded or not. Okay? So let's switch it around. So can you, anyone else try this? Try a correct one? So what should I say? So let me switch it around so you'll get. So you get also an idea of why, I mean, what is the right way to do it, which is not correct. So instead of that, we have these two. Okay? So for every initially F that is in O, F is in sigma 0. F is, I should put. If it's not. I'm going very slow, so I want to make sure that you understand in this initial step, first few classes, I am going very, very slow so that you get the hang of going from your thoughts to writing the definitions and you get, I'm taking the very simplest language. A0 is very, very simple. The simplest possible language, and I'm going very methodically, very slow. So that you get all the aspects of when you design a new, because of your project, you may decide to design a new language to capture things, because we don't have time here. We don't have durations here. So if you want to take up new things, then if you know the basic one, how to proceed, then you can take a more complex one and know how to proceed and work on it. Okay? So for some it might be very slow, but for others, I mean, it's important that you get the whole complete hang of it. So is those two correct?
The last two ones.
Yeah, the one. Okay. Although I have put slides from the previous semester I taught it, I'm doing it slightly differently. So many things I'm changing as I go along. So you can look at it, but the new slides are different. We'll have some different stuff. So this is clear, right? So we go to the next one. So we took care of O. So the next one is more difficult. So now O gives us this part initially. What is initial? What D gives us is the transition function. D tells us that if I am in this state S and I do an action A, what will be the next state? And this one is, I write it as phi of say A sigma. If this is sigma, this is phi of A sigma. Okay? Actually, we could go back. Let's go back to that one a little bit. So, given A O, so now are you sure, are you convinced that if I give you A O, there can be more than one initial state?
No, more than maybe.
Huh? More than one or just one, exactly one? More than, there can be more than multiple initial states, because if I have incomplete information, then there can be multiple. So if I just have, see, my domain has F and G, and I only give you initially in not G, say. So what are the possible initial states? So sigma 0 can be F. Sigma 0 can also be another one, say, prime and prime can be just empty. That means both F and G are false. Again, pay attention. My domain has this, these are the properties F and G. Okay, I have initially not G. I made it a little more, instead of saying F, I just made it that initially G is false. Now, I have no idea about F. Okay? So if I have no idea about F, F can be either true or false. So here F is true, here F is false. G is false in both places. And in this notation, I am not writing G, if something is false, I don't put it there. Okay, so that's the notation of state many times we use. It simplifies in certain cases, but later we might have to actually put both positive and negative information. So, is it possible that I give you O and there is no initial state which satisfies O, corresponding to O? Yes? Example. So, I mean, I can just write initially not G and initially G. Right? So if I write like this, I cannot find an initial state which will satisfy both, because it's an inconsistent thing I gave you. So you cannot really find something which will satisfy both of these. Right? I mean, I wouldn't write this, but if I wrote it, if somebody wrote it, if there's like thousands of things, there might be a mistake somewhere. So AO, if not properly written, may not have any initial state corresponding to it, or if it is incomplete, it can have multiple ones, or if it has exactly all the information about all of them, so it has F and not G, it has information about both fluents, then I will have exactly one initial state for this. Okay? It's really simple. I mean, okay. So we kind of very, very simple O, we took care of it, right? Given O, we can find if there are an initial state, or if there are multiple initial states, or if there are a unique initial state, all that we can figure it out. Okay. So now, given D, which has this kind of sentences, okay, and actually we can make it simplified in the A0, we don't even have executability, we just have this A causes, we just want to make simpler the definition. So we just have this, and from that we want to define this transition, that given a state sigma, given an action, what will be the next state? Okay? So, I mean, there are many ways to write this. I have certain suggestions of one way to write this, but you can have actually give two ways to write this. But you can think and start writing, you can write in your own way, what would be given sigma and A and a D, what would be phi A sigma. I can put D there as a superscript. So I can put D here as a superscript, a subscript, sorry. So it basically says that this transition is because of the D part. Okay. When the context is clear, we don't have to write that D, but usually it's better to have that D. Where is it saving? So given a state sigma and an action A, let's assume that this thing exists. Okay? We can give an example where it may not exist. But let's assume that the D is given in a nice way so that this thing exists. So question is, what is this state? Exists means that the information in D is such that you can get that. Because I can have something like say A causes F and A causes not F. Okay, I can write something wrong thing. Then if I say I am at B, my initially F is true, what would be the next state? Okay, so this D may not always exist. So I can give you an example where it doesn't exist. So suppose I have initial state, my initial state is F, doesn't matter what it is, and then I have A causes F or G, doesn't matter, and A causes not G. So if I do A here, what will be the next state? I have contradictory information, I cannot define what will be the next state. Okay, because it says that A will cause G and this says A causes not G, and I don't know which one it is. So let's, we'll get there about what conditions we need to satisfy, but until that time, so let's assume that we don't have such mess, such inconsistency. So suppose this is existing, okay? So that's why you don't have to worry about that aspect. So question is, what is it? You can look at the slides, you don't have to look at the slides. You have the intuition what it is supposed to be, right? So try to write it down. Maybe you come up with a better way of writing it. All you have is this. In your D, all you have is this kind of thing. Okay? So I can make some simpler things which can make life simpler. I can say affluent, literal, F holds in a state sigma if F is in this. Sigma. I just made this thing if it is helpful to you. So when you say A causes F if P1 to Pn, you can just say P1 to Pn holds in a state sigma. And I define what that means. Okay? If each of them hold, and so these three, sometimes this makes it the subsequent definitions easier. So I just wrote this thing. It might help you. Because what this allows us is, I mean, when I say A causes F is P1 to Pn, so this P1 to Pn can be either positive or negative, right? I allow them to be positive or negative. Positive, they can be P, or they can be not G, they can have both kinds. And it makes it difficult to deal with them if they are different kinds. And that's why this first three lines makes it easier. So now I say fluent F holds, so I define the notion of hold. Before I had this true or false, right? So you can say F holds if F is in sigma. If it's a negative thing, if F is not in sigma, then it holds. And if it's a collection, then everything must hold. This is just to make life easier in the subsequent definition. Are you doing okay?
Try the first one?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to follow the thing. You want to follow that way, that's fine.
So, the first one, what must be in the state by D, I think maybe we can write for N in F that is in sigma.
Okay, let me. So, what must be in say? So, you want to say for any? Yeah, that's already there. That's already here. That I already put it here, so I don't need to repeat it again.
Okay. So it could be for any F in sigma if there is a clause.
What must be? So if there is any clause of the form you can now use this term and it holds in sigma. Then F is sound right?
Not
sigma. It's in okay. If there is any clause of the form A causes F this in D. Right? And P1 to Pn hold in sigma, then F is in this. Okay? Is that correct? So now this one should be easier. Okay, so someone else, so what should I write? What must not be in the state? This. If there is any clause of the form A causes not F, and then F is not N. Okay? So this is something the action force. If action causes something, they have to be there. If action causes something to be false, then they must not be there. Okay, but is that enough? What else we need to write?
Any other thing that remains unchanged?
Okay, so how do you write it? Then what do I say? Okay. Is that what you want to say? If there's no cause of clause of the form A causes F, this then? Then what? Okay. Tell me the thing. Tell me your idea, then I'll write it. A causes not F?
Yeah.
Okay, and then? For any fluent F in sigma, you want to write that. If there is no clause of the form A causes not F, if P1 to PN in D and P1 to P1 hold in sigma, then what? Then F is in this one? Say it again?
I think it should be the very last part should be P1 to PN hold A in sigma.
That's what I have, P1 to PN hold in sigma.
Okay.
Is that readable there? It's too small. You don't need to?
Do we need to define properly?
We need to define the phi d. We need to precisely define what phi d is. Phi d is sigma. So how you define it is up to you. I have two ideas written here. They have different values, but
yeah.
Up to you how to write it.
How we define this stuff? For every fluent f belonging to the set sigma minus final fluent.
There's no final law. Okay, write down in the paper, then I'll check. Okay, so write that down. Write the whole definition down, I'll check in your thing and see. Okay. Just write clearly. And the whole point, one of the big points is even simple stuff you have to very write precisely and think clearly and write precisely. This is the simplest possible action kind of description. Okay? Anything you want to do more, you want to write an algorithm, you want to write a plan, you want to do anything more properly, you have to have this thing properly defined. Only then whatever you do later will be kind of have bad value. You have some idea how to write it? So what will you write?
For any fluent S, for any fluent S, if there is no clause of form A causes S, or a form A clause is not S, then it basically
just... No, write the sentence, don't say then it basically, I'm not going to write that, so you tell me the exact sentence. Tell me the definition. Don't add extra stuff in between. Just why don't you write down? Yeah, just write down. So what you suggested, this one is partially correct, but I need to add more things there. That's just only, I have to add at least three more such things. For any fluent F in sigma, I have to write this. For any fluent F not in sigma, and so there will be four such possibilities I have to write. Yeah, but that's sometimes okay initially, as long as it's correct. Because sometimes when you're trying to make it kind of a small and neat, you make a mistake. So it's okay to be verbose in the beginning when you're defining something until you fully understand. So in research, when you're writing definitions, in the beginning it's okay to be verbose, as long as the more important fact is being correct. Okay? So I can make four of these and then correct it. Let me show you how. Too small to see, right? that's the best you can do. So this one, for any fluent f in sigma, if there is no clause of the form a causes this, so actually two of then f is in sigma, any fluent f in sigma, if there is no clause of the form a causes. Maybe that two of them would work. So let me actually write it. Since we have to save time a little bit. So we'll say for any fluent f, no. For input f, there's no. So this is kind of the negative condition of these two, right? Here it says there is no clause for A causes F, or they are of the same. So this is something what you were saying, but there is slight difference. A little cute then. Okay. Remember, I said for any fluent f, I did not say from where. Okay, I just said any fluent f, if there is no clause of the form a causes f if this, or of the form a causes not f, then f. So this is a little trick. F is in sigma. This is a shortcut, if and only if so the last part is basically saying the value of f does not change. F is in sigma if and only if f is in this. So the meaning of this is that the value of the value of f from sigma to here does not change. They remain the same. That's what, let me underline that. So let me have slide save. Okay. For any fluent f, if there is no clause of the form a causes f if p1 to pn in d and p1 to pn hold in sigma, or of the form a causes not f if p1 to pn in d and p1 to pn hold in sigma, then the value of f basically remains unchanged. And the remain unchanged is written in mathematically and write as f is in sigma if and only if f is in this. So if f is in sigma, then f will be in that one. If it's not in sigma, then f will not be in that one. That's kind of a short writing. So let me now. So now I can clean this up. That was a hint. So now I can just clean this up. This basically defines what this phi is. So this basically precisely defines what this phi d is, but it's not very constructive. It does not give you the phi d, right? I mean, it just says what is in 5D or not in 5D. But if I want you to ask, give me the 5D, give me what the next state is, it doesn't completely give you that. Right? I mean, it's not an algorithm. So that's why I have the next bullet. So in this bullet, I have to give an example of a D where phi D A sigma does not exist. So this one I gave you an example. If I have A causes G and A causes not G, then phi D does not exist. Because the first condition says G must be there. In the next state, the second condition says G cannot be there. Right? So obviously I will not have something here. You look puzzled. Any? Yeah, if, so this is a conflicting domain, right? A causes G and A causes not G.
So, when we work with it, we assume that the domain may be conflicting.
Yeah, because we haven't ruled it out yet.
It's just not that everything is okay so far.
No, that is what the thing is. You have to, it doesn't automatically become okay. You have to say it to make it okay. Okay. So you need to know what is no, what is not okay. So now, no, it doesn't exist since it's not defined. Okay, I cannot find, like, if I have this domain, I cannot have a phi d which will define this to some state which will agree with the conditions that we put. Because I just don't have some state which will agree to the conditions that you will have g and not have g. Okay? But what you're saying could be, so if... Yeah, but this is not an empty state. This is just, the state is not defined. Yeah, yeah. Sure, sure. But in this case, that is not the point. The point is I have this F, right? So what will be this state, A? It's not empty state. Because empty state means that actually F is false. And G is false. Obviously, it doesn't satisfy that. Okay? But that might come into picture in another notation. There is, I mean, when we expand this idea. So now suppose in this language the phi is such that actually if we have sigma and you do an action, you get to exactly another state, a single state. Okay? Because the simplicity of the language. Later it might happen that if you do sigma and A, there might be actually multiple states. Okay? So suppose this is sigma 0, and if you do A, you can go sigma 1 or sigma 2. So in this case, you're going to write, so that then phi becomes something else. So the phi is a function from action and state to a set of states. So here it will be sigma 1, one state, sigma 2, one other state. And here empty set will mean that it's undefined. That's a different thing, yes. No, it's not because of that. The first, I mean, when I say state, every state is fully defined. It's just that I can have, I mean, I can just write A causes F or G. I can just, if I expand my, not in this language, but if I expand my language saying that if you push the door, it may or may not open, right? So there can be actions whose effect is not deterministic.
But it
sounds
like that's because you haven't described
that same door. So. That's partly true. But you don't have enough of, you don't know enough to describe it fully. So, it's like you toss a coin, for example. So you toss a coin, the result is head or tails, right? It's not deterministic. Of course, if in my state I have the definition of what angle I tossed and how much force and how much air is circulating and the friction and all that, maybe I can be, it can be precise. But since I don't have that information, I don't consider that information. So with the limited information, the effect of an action becomes non-deterministic. Some actions.
So there's in any given
Yeah, and we are not getting there. As I said, we are just being very simple. But we will discuss what happens when actions have non-deterministic effects. That makes things more complex. We were starting with the very, very simple stuff. As simple as we can. And although these particular things I wrote was actually a little complicated, I didn't have to write this this way. I wrote this way because it becomes easier when we do the more complicated language. It's easier to give the definition of phi as here. So look at this part, and that might give you a simpler way of defining this phi d. Okay. Assuming it exists. Phi d is, so it's dark, too dark, so let me write. So phi d a sigma is equal to, and you need to write down, write this down, sigma union the positive effects of A minus the negative effects of A, actually. Positive effects of A in sigma. You need to define what this positive and negative effects are. I think you can define it. And if you do that, then actually this is a simpler, it's a very simpler as well as constructive. It just tells you, given sigma and A, how do you get this phi d a sigma, right? It says, take this sigma, add this, remove this. That's what, and so what do we add and what do we remove? So you need to tell me what are the positive effects of A in sigma. So I'm going to use invent notation here to make space. So it's written union E effect of A in sigma. Effect of A sigma. And I want it positive, so I will put plus here. Where is plus? I will make it a superscript. E plus minus the negative effects of A in sigma. So this becomes very cute and small. So I can put a parenthesis here if I want. And here minus. Okay. So phi d a sigma is sigma union. I don't know if there's a union there. This, and this is the minus, set minus this. Where? So what is E plus? So now you need to define what this is. Where? E plus. So you need to define these two. What is E plus is equal to what? And E minus is equal to what? These are sets actually, so you need to tell me what sets they are. Okay? You should be able to do this. This is simple. Are you getting the hang of what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Basically, you have sigma and you do an action, so you have to add some things that become true and remove some things that become false. So, what are the things that become true? Yes. Set minus.
Oh.
Okay? So write that down, then we'll be done. So what would be E plus A sigma and what would be E minus A sigma? So let me see if you know the set notation. If you can write a set. English is E plus A sigma are all those fluents which are made true by action A in sigma. Right? So the way to write it, since I'm running out of time, so I should write it, is F such that there exists a clause of the form, right? So if you remember, your that's it. F such that there exists a clause of the form A causes F if P1 to Pn in D and P1 to Pn in Pn to Pn hold in sigma. Right? These are the positive effect of A. And the negative effect of A is very similar. So what changes I should make? Of the form A causes not F. Okay? So it's basically adding what becomes true, removing what becomes false, everything else remains unchanged because I could have, of course, made these slides and read it, but I don't think you'd have gotten the confidence and the grasp of the material if I had just gone through the slide in 5 minutes. Okay. It's not very hard, but you see how defining something precise takes time and effort. So now I hope you would have appreciation for this process of being precisely writing things. Okay. If you think of it, it's very simple. It's nothing rocket science or anything. It's very simple, but it needs to be very precisely stated. Okay. So now we move on. Now it's easier. I still left out blanks here. This is easier also. So a pair, so from D and O, basically what we are trying to get is sigma 0 and phi. D and O is good to describe. Sigma 0 and phi takes a lot of space to write. But we're not writing them. They're kind of semantics. They're behind it. They're the meaning. And from that we get it. So here we say a pair sigma 0 phi is a model of D if phi 0 is the initial state, is a initial state, is an initial state corresponding to O, and I should put D here, D, phi B is the transition function corresponding to D. So that's what the model is basically. We get this one sigma 0 from O and phi D from D, and then the sigma 0 phi will make our life easier. How they will make our life easier should be in the next slide. Let's see. Is here. What do we want to do with D and O? We want to ask queries, right? So now we need to define, given a query Q of the form F after A1 to AN, we say that from D and O we can conclude this query Q. So if you remember last time you were giving me one algorithm, he was giving me another algorithm, but now we have the machinery to precisely define it. So can you define this? You have at your disposal sigma 0 and phi, which make life easier. Okay, that time we hadn't defined sigma 0 and phi. So now we want to say, given a query Q of the form F after A1 to N, we say that D and O entails this query. Like we can make the conclusion Q from this D and O if, what should be the case? Whatever you wanted now, actually, if you follow going up forward, you can start from the initial state and keep applying phi. Right? That's what you say. You want to say that if F is true by starting from sigma 0 and applying phi, phi a1, a2, an, and whatever state you get at the end, if f is true there, then you can make the conclusion that from this you get the query. So that was the idea. So now you write, now you have the tools to make it precise.
Back to the mono, so when we define the structure of
So you can write here, if for every model, I can write sigma 0, S 0, sigma 0, phi of the model had these two things, right? Okay. Every model sigma 0 phi of DO, we have that F is true in. So now you should write that expression. Okay, so what we can do is phi F is true in control V phi. Phi is AN, so you can say phi dot 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 phi A1. Something like that. Something like that, right? For every model, there are multiple models. We have that if you start from the initial state sigma 0. So you can see the mathematics here. So we start from sigma 0, we apply A1, A2, A3, up to AN, right? F is true in. Is that clear?
Yeah.
And important is for every model. There might be multiple models, and we have to consider all of them. Yes. Is there a better way to say that? I think what you can do is you can have a better notation for the last one, and we use that notation. So what we do is, to deal with this, we just write down that notation as A1 to AN, say sigma 0. So we just say that apply A1 to AN 1 by 1 in sigma 0. So sometimes you say, or you can write this, this is written as, you can say A1, A2, dot 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 A N sigma 0. So sometimes we just write this notation or some variation of this. I don't, you can have sigma 0 on this side or that side, or so that is, that makes your life easier. But you cannot escape the math. I mean, there's not much in it, it's just A2 AN. Okay. So if I knew how to write this, then I'll just say F is true in this state. Okay? No, phi is implicit. I don't know why that box comes in. is because of symbol. Oh, we have, okay, so let me finish this quickly. So what are the next slide? So now I went from sigma initial state, I go one more step to the oracles. Okay, I wanted to, because this is where I want to give you the feeling of two kinds of observations and dealing with them separately. So the oracles are F after A1 to AN. Very much like queries, is basically saying that God told you if you were to do A1 to AN, F would be true. You didn't observe it really because you did not do A1 to AN. But somebody told you that if you were to do it, you would get F to be true. If suppose we have this kind of information, then what we have to go on multiple steps. Actually, I'll just introduce the slides and go over it more detail next time. So what I do here is this is my basic stuff, and this is the extra observation. Because I cannot put this O prime in O, that's what you were asking that time. I don't want to, they're different kinds, so I don't want to put them together. Like this O is the observation of initially counting, and O prime is a different kind, F after A, it's kind of a hypothetical array, so I want to separate them. And they will have different properties actually. Whether you put something here or here could have different properties. So I have that slide, it's not much, and then there's some definitions regarding what is consistent and what is complete. And then I have this results, which I'm going to go over in more detail, is given a domain description D, deciding whether phi D exists is polynomial. This is polynomial, but something becomes NP complete or co-NP complete. So there are five different questions, and we'll take this simplest language. I'm not going to do with respect to anything else. All the other ones are much more complex. For the simplest one, I will give you an idea of, we start with syntax, semantics, then you try to figure out how hard these things are. Okay, you have to get a handle on that, and then you go to the algorithm. So in this particular one, we will actually do all the steps. So in the next class, I will start with the two slides back, and we'll go through these results. And yeah, let me mail this to myself so that all the changes I made are okay. I don't want to say this. Oh. Okay. Let me just email this to me. We can, because the next class might come by. Thank you. Yeah, there can be multiple, like you can have something of a color, blue, red, that kind of thing.
Like temperature, you know,
yeah.
If you describe it in terms of if it's 98 or not 98, it's not very helpful.
Right.
How does...
So that's the kind of thing, I mean, there are languages, I'm just using the simplest one.
Okay.
So there are some of those that are already there, people know how to do it,
mm-hmm.
and but you might find come up with something interesting which that could be a project.
Okay.
Right. But I'm trying the simplest. Okay. It was okay?